has been on the and around the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have been to the Holy Land? Not many. Okay. I had the good fortune to go in the millennial year and be able to visualize this. Just a little while back in Matthew's Gospel is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And if you do one of the standard tours, you get to go to the place where that supposedly happened. And it's in the northwest corner of the region of Galilee, just a little way up the hill from the shore of the Sea of Galilee, northwest. If you did some world geography somewhere along the way, if you keep going northwest, you come to Tyre and Sidon, or the Levant, or Lebanon, pick whichever name you like. That's where Jesus decides to go. The significant thing about this is out of his territory. It's out of the territory of the children of Israel. And I use that term because the term Jew did not exist in those days. Those who lived in and around Jerusalem were called Judeans. If you were from Galilee, you were a Galilean. But all part of the Israelite faith community, the household of faith. But Jesus goes out beyond that. And we have this disturbing reading here. A Canaanite woman from that region, she's also referred to as the Syrophoenician woman, which probably is a better fit. She came out when she hears the hubbub of the crowd gathering around this itinerant speaker, and she starts shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Today we would say mentally ill, I suspect. Jesus, what does Jesus do? Jesus, who considers no boundaries, but Jesus that we have learned about, is the one that would openly embrace her, perhaps. Well, he doesn't. He ignores her. His disciples come and say, "Shut the woman up, get her out of here." They're very uncomfortable. Now, there's a very good reason for that discomfort that we wouldn't understand today. In that world, then, and in parts of the Mediterranean world still today, traditional communities, you see women gather together in public space. You see men do that. But it's the men who speak, not the women. A woman is not supposed to speak in public in that cultural and social-cultural setting. So she has offended Jesus by addressing, and everyone else around for that matter, by speaking out. And so the disciples say, basically, shut her up. Jesus then says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This woman is not a sheep, lost or otherwise, of the house of Israel. She is not put off. take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, he says. Well, in my household, when I had a dog and cats, food somehow made it down there quite often, actually. The woman is not put off. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You can't preach a sermon on this gospel without wondering at the tenacity, the wisdom, the courage of this woman. And Jesus does respond in that way. I can just imagine if he were in our world now, he would be saying, "Wow, there's no getting rid of her." I suspect, and it's sort of suggested in the language, that Jesus all along was not ignoring her, that he needed to expose the social, cultural, even political limitations of that world. And so finally he says, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And she leaves knowing, having faith, to return to her daughter, who is healed. Now the gospel, rather the collect for today, I'll take you back to that prayer that we read together, to the middle part of it. We're praying to God, "Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of Jesus' redeeming work, and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life." The collect is a prayer that is calling us together and to a focus, if you like, a theme. And there it is. To follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Whoa. That presents a problem or two. This setting of the gospel account and this tension between the Galilean disciples, who are of the Israelite faith and household, and this location outside of that, and a woman speaking in a man's world, the public world, all of that very disturbing. Well, we have our own things happening today. My wife likes to watch the evening news on Channel 7. We get it at ABC with David Muir. It comes on at 3:30 in the afternoon and 5:30. If we miss 3:30, we get 5:30. And it's always breaking news at this hour, although 2 hours later it's the same breaking news at the same hour. And the way that we're bombarded with all of this is unfortunate in some ways. And yet we cannot escape the realities of the world in which we live, where it seems that being Canaanite and being Israelite beautiful city that I've been fortunate enough to visit on two occasions. I have been in Israel. I have been other places where there is unrest, violence, inside this country, the places that are the breaking news right now. How do we relate to all of this? At times, I need the good grace of my wife when I'm stepping outside of my, not by nature, but by belief and conviction, being a conscientious objector. I'm wanting to call down the flames and wrath of God or something or other on these people who take human lives cheaply and destroy them. And then I step back from a bit, from a little bit, when my wife has said, "Are you a pacifist?" Oops. And think of the community that I'm part of in San Jose, but particularly here. I'm not going to require anyone to stand at any point, but if you want to, you may nod your head, raise a hand, or anything. I'm interested a little bit in the profile of this family here. I'll start with a relatively safe one. How many of you are high church or low church? Who's high church? Who likes smells and bells? Okay, good. Okay. Looks as if you might be in the minority here. But I'm both. I try to have my cake and eat it too. How many of you work outside the home, or maybe at home, but you know, get a paycheck of some sort? Hands. Okay. But a lot of you don't. Okay. If you are working or in whatever previous career you may have had, do we have some engineers here? We have some engineers. And contrary to a recent promulgation from a particular person in high tech, a woman engineer. You're not temperamentally equipped to do that, you know. According to that, really. That's why she has a hard time. Are there some teachers here? Anyone still studying in some kind of adult program or if you? I hope we're all continuing to learn. Do we have any writers? Yes, we do have a writer, but he's not here today, at least that I know of. Any other writers? You do some copywriting, that's important, yes. How many are you just out and out retired? Oh, I am. I don't know why I'm standing up here. Do we have any athletes, former or present? What kind of athletics? Whoa, good. I used to be a sprinter and then somehow got converted to being a long-distance runner, so including cross-country, yeah. Other? Oh. Paul. As my stepson says, Paul? That's not a sport. Give me football or tennis, in this case. So we've got quite a few that have been athletes as well as are. How about being spectators? Oh, I'll put my hands up for that. feel being beaten up myself. I blame all my ills on my rugby career. So how many of you are parents? Quite a lot of parents. How many of you are grandparents? We won't go on great-grandparents, all of that. Great-grandparents, then. How many of you have had the wonderful joy of being a parent of a birth child and an adopted child? You have? Yeah. That's my experience. Okay, a couple more. How many of you are married? Married, yes. So let's see the single ones then. Just a few. Okay. I'd have been surprised if it had been the other way around there. But how many of you are American born and bred? How many of you are from some other part of the world originally? Oh. Are we all? No, three of us are from England, and you're from Philippines. British Honduras? Oh, I must talk to you about British Honduras. My uncle was a teacher and minister there for 10 years, and I love the country. Where? South Africa. My name dropping. My friends there are Colin Jones, who used to be the Dean of the Cathedral of the Cape, and Desmond, whose feet I've sat at and loved. Okay. Then I could get on to more, it seems at times, controversial things for some people. Sexuality. I have in my family a niece who is, makes me sound older than I am, I have a niece who is just going to turn 60, who is a lesbian. And when she went home and told her parents, my sister and brother-in-law, I thought that they were going to just flip, go wild about it. And Russ, who grew up knowing all the prejudices of working class, factory working class Britain, put his arms around her and said, "Hey, you're my daughter, I love you." This is a pretty diverse community. How many members does this community have officially? Tell me. A lot. About 100. Yeah, but this is sort of a microcosm of what is around us, including people of different ethnicities. I would say we are a microcosm of San Jose, California, United States. And we, each of us, bring to these breaking news events our own experience, our own different feelings and responses. And we wonder what we might do. Social Democrats, I remained silent. I was not a Social Democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent. I wasn't a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out. And he did get incarcerated in a prison camp and lived to a ripe old age eventually. But when I read those words and think of the times that I have avoided dealing with what I am called to do and be in the face of all that separates us in this world, and the readings today, the psalm overflows with this, that passage from Isaiah also. The God of Israel, let's talk about the God of Israel. God of everyone. God of everyone. All the nations, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The psalm. What I believe is happening in our world right now is that as I was growing up in England, first of all, and then here, I began to be very hopeful, especially after the Vietnam War was over, because that's around the time I came here, that people were beginning to see the larger picture. That is, realize that for all of our differences, we're all human beings on planet Earth. And lots of movements, the spirit of hippies, in quotes, love, flower children, that really some of that was rubbing off and things were changing. And we're becoming a gentler, kinder world. And actually, I believe that really was what was happening. But there are those who cannot prosper in their own minds and bodies with peace. And all this outpouring of terrorist activity, of racial hatred, of religious hatred, and all of this that has exploded in our world, I think is because, I could personify it, they say the devil, or evil, sees that good could win out. We could become one in this planet if we realize our need for each other. So let's put an end to that. Let's stop that happening. And the intensification of all of this, well, I've gone on much longer than I intended. But that's the Methodist in me. What does this do and say for us? In 2 weeks' time, the Reverend Ernest Boyer will officially take up residency as your interim priest, as you continue the search process to find a permanent, well, no one's permanent, but a rector for the long term, shall we say. I've known Ernest a long time, and I know that he's going to be a gift and a blessing for you, and that you will bless him and his ministry with you. I know also that you have your own things that you are struggling with and determining, be is something that's open-ended for all of you. And we pray for the search committee, and I've thankfully been asked to and have been praying as a chaplain to the search committee. Whatever you think is going to come out of all of this, it won't. It will be something different. And whoever becomes your rector will be all that you had hoped for and some things you hadn't hoped for. And that's just the nature of it. And then you are well equipped as you struggle with these things personally and as a community to be those who go out and not cause division and separation, but bring God's love, bring the good news to those who are very different from you, perhaps. I'll finish with a plug. How many of you had who live in the immediate area had someone was going around door to door putting notices about a meeting tomorrow night about temporary shelters for the homeless? Any of you get that? I'm over in one of the Blossom Streets, Cashew Blossom, and they're all around our area. And there's two proposed sites. One is at Monterey and Branham Lane, not very far away. And the other one is just a little bit further up Monterey. I can't remember the cross street. This is our world right now. I drive every day by people who are panhandling, and I don't stop. Well, of course, I know that most of the people that are doing that are what, in the profession in which I've worked part of my life, dual diagnosis individuals.